Amen. All right. So we'll get right into it. The ushers should be giving you a handout. So we're going to talk about what the believer has in Jesus' name. And kind of continuing on in the theme of the name of Jesus. And then we're going to review a little bit about using the name and what we talked about last couple of Wednesday nights. So in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, we start off by reading, "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those in earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 6, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. That means he's lawful owner. He made Jesus a lawful owner of the whole world, of all things, and through whom he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of the glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they the angels, referring to the angels. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. So he was born with that name. He inherited his father's name. Amen. And, of course, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 through 23 says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So his name gave him a name above every name that is named. Amen. Presently and futuristically. Praise God. There's no other higher name. No one higher than the name of Jesus. So in our review of how Jesus obtained his name, the more excellent name of Jesus came by three means. First, we see Jesus' name is great because he inherited a great name. He inherited a great name. We read it in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. He inherited from his Father God. Second, his name was great because of his conquest. He raised him. When God raised him from the dead, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. He spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross and in the resurrection. And of course, that's in Ephesians 1:20 through 23, and in Colossians it says that. Third, his name is great because it was conferred upon him. It was conferred upon him. So he inherited a great name. He earned a great name, because some people earn name because of accomplishments in life. Jesus did by his conquest. He defeated every other authority and power in existence. In this case, the devil and all his cohorts, death, hell, and the grave. Amen. So he defeated them, and he conquered them. And he inherited a great name because of that. And, of course, it was conferred upon him when God highly exalted him and gave him a name, seated him right next to him on high, in the majesty on high, and gave him a name above every name. So he was conferred a great name. Amen. So the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ's ability is the measure of the value of that name. And all that is invested in that name belongs to us. Now, you have to think about that and reflect on that on a consistent basis. So you don't depreciate the name. Depreciate means take it down, lower, lessen its value. You appreciate the name. You appraise, just like a diamond jeweler would appraise a diamond based on its carat, its cut, its color. Amen. And so they would appraise the value of a diamond that way. You and I have to appraise Jesus' great name as highly valuable. No other value can be placed higher than that name. Whew, isn't that good? And so he gave that name to you and me. So everybody might say, well, I don't have money, I don't have this, but you have the name. You have the name. You have the most valuable inheritance at your 24-hour, 7 days a week, 365 a year disposal. You have the name. Everybody say the name, Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah. And so he belongs to us. For Jesus gave us unqualified use of his name legally, spiritually. Jesus gave us power of attorney, the legal right to use his great name. Now, how are you using it? Are you using it? We as a church have been authorized to use the name of Jesus. Now, let's read Mark 16, 17, and 18. We'll read it off the board here. Mark 16, 17, and 18. Now, he's talking to us as believers. Mark 16, 17 and 18. And these, 16, 17, I'll just read that, King James. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Well, they will drive out devils, cast out demons. There's really one devil, the rest of them are demons, evil spirits. They shall speak with new tongues. Now notice there's five things he's going to tell, five signs that he's going to tell that accompany or follow believers. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, if you're taking notes, take down these five things. Number one, cast or drive out demons in the name of Jesus. Now, this means you have supernatural power and authority over all devils and demons. Or the devil and demons. So they don't have dominion over you. Amen. That means they can't dominate you anymore. Amen. Okay? Now, now evil spirits and demons dominate who? Unbelievers, those in darkness. Or those who give believers who give him consent through three reasons you would yield to the devil: ignorance, permission or consent, and disobedience. That's why when you deal with devils, you lose your element of boldness. That's what qualifies you to deal with the devil. You have to deal with him boldly. It means directly. Open your mouth and speak to him. You got to talk back to the devil. You got to say, "Mr., come here, Mr. Devil. Let me talk to you." You don't have that boldness if you got unconfessed sin in your heart. You lose the supernatural authority and power to deal with those situations. Amen. That's why you got to get things, keep things right, keep things clear every day. Clear conscience before God and people, other people. If you're harboring stuff in your heart, your authority and power won't work. You'll short circuit it. Are you listening to me? So you got power. The devil will laugh at you, just like the seven sons of Sceva. Man, you out there in sin, they'll embarrass you. Don't go going running up on the devil. I remember one time, we were in a church in Virginia, and the devil started manifesting in a young lady right at the end of service. And she turned around, and I to this day, I've never seen a person contort like a snake like that. And she hit the ground, and she was contorting like a snake, and her tongue was coming out like a snake, you know, sticking her tongue out and hissing. That was a demon manifest. How many know most of the church folks ran? Pastor's back to the door shaking hands. So guess what? I'm the associate pastor, assistant pastor. He looked at me, you got to deal with it. So the Holy Spirit locked me in with one person who had enough faith and gumption to get after it. And so we turned her around and, you know, looked her right now, commanded the devil to leave out. We didn't create no big scene, no big hollering, staying up all night, yelling and screaming, devil, come on, devil. No. Devil in what? In the name, everybody said, in the name of Jesus. Come out of her. The devil left immediately. Not because of me. Don't look at me as some great person of power and ability. No. He left because of the name. And I have unqualified use of the name because I'm a born again, spirit filled believer and Christ follower. Amen. And so do you. Amen. But you got to have your heart right. You can't have sin out there because sin will strip you of your power. Got to be walking in love toward everybody. Are you listening to me? All right, number two, speak with new tongues. That means supernatural communication. So many believers don't practice and do this. So if you're coming up against a situation that you don't have wisdom, or meaning you don't know what to say, know how to pray, and know what to do about a situation, that qualifies you as lacking wisdom. When you don't know what to say, because remember, no words are your words. There's no inconsequential words. But Steve and I were talking about it. There's no inconsequential words. Words, you're justified by your words. So you can't be flipping in your mouth. So if you don't know what to say, if you don't know how to pray about a situation, or you don't know what to do, you lack wisdom. The best way, everybody say the best way, not the only way, but the best way to get wisdom directly from the Father is praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And this is a way you communicate supernaturally, not naturally, because your head's still on when you're praying in English or praying in your natural language. Your head's still on because you're trying to figure it out and trying to express it out. But you don't know what's behind the scenes or know what's going on there. You don't know what to say, you don't know how to pray, and you don't know what to do. So you got to pray in the Spirit. Everybody say, pray in the Spirit. So you got to be, how do you do that? In Jesus' name, Father, I yield my spirit to the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to you. Because your word says, if he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So I'm talking directly to you, Father. In whose name? In the name of Jesus. So you can pray at any time, any location, any time, anywhere, about anything. And you don't have to skip through hoops and go through protocols and wait for a week or a month to get an appointment with a pastor or somebody, or try to figure out if they're going to return my call. You can start praying in the Spirit right away. Amen. In Jesus' name. You can connect with the Most High God, your Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So take advantage of that. Take advantage. Number two, take up serpents. The example of this is Paul and Melita, Acts chapter 28, verse 1 through 5, when they got shipwrecked on the island of Melita. They were building sticks. He was building a fire, and a venomous viper came out and fastened on his hand. What happened? He shook it off. How do we shake stuff off? In the name of Jesus. So this is supernatural protection from what I like to call three things: pests, poison, and pestilence. Pestilence or plagues. So pests are like, if there's a flea infection or fly infection, you know, those mosquitoes coming down. When everybody said, well, these certain sign of mosquitoes coming around. Are you outside walking? Are you doing lawn work? What do? I'm not going to get accidentally bit by a poisonous mosquito. Do you walk around in fear? No, it didn't say you take up, you handle snakes. It just, if you accidentally get bit or stung by a pest, a poison, or pestilence. It's supernatural protection. Everybody say supernatural protection. Now, he said, no deadly thing will hurt you if you drink it or eat it accidentally. I underscore that, accidentally. So you're in a restaurant, they got foodborne illnesses in their food. Come on now. You have supernatural immunity. Supernatural immunity. Everybody say supernatural immunity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, what does that apply to? That spreads to you and all that belongs to you. Brother Steve and I were talking about it. I call it the W's, the woes. The doctor comes up and says, hey, you got this. Whoa. Hallelujah. The wicked things that the devil brings, because he's a meanie. Amen. The things that kind of bring you worries and the cares of life and burdens to your soul, to your mental and emotional health. Worry kills you. Stress and anxiety are not, in this case, good for you because they reduce your faith to zero, and then you become a person of divided thoughts, legitimate thoughts, destructive thoughts. And then those destructive thoughts divide your mind, divide and break your focus, and then you end up, your faith ends up fracturing and falling apart. And you can't even believe God because you're so stressed out, so worried. Amen. Hallelujah. Number five, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, this word, Greek word, sick, is arustos, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Arustos is a condition that's critically ill and comatose. Critically ill and comatose. So that means who? Who has qualified use of the name against someone from a condition as simple as a food, an allergy, allergies acting up, sinus acting up, all the way to a full-blown, you're in coma, in a coma in the hospital, in critical ICU condition. The believer. Everybody say, I got use of the name. So whatever sickness is afflicting you or what belongs to you, you, everybody say, use the name. So this is supernatural authority over sickness, debilitation, diseases, dysfunctions, and disabilities. Why do we accept them when the name is higher than that? One's for immunity. That means this stuff doesn't belong to you. You're protected and it's preventative against those things. Woes, worries, word curses, and wicked stuff that the enemy brings to you. Word curses is stuff that you didn't know and you were probably ignorant about that speak people in your family line always joke about and call names and bad name people and say, well, you slow, you stupid, or you ain't gonna be able to do this. And they just don't they don't click on all cylinders. They talk stuff, but those words are word curses. So you break those word curses. How? Oh, my goodness. They keep telling you you're clumsy, you're forgetful. Mom, Dad, you're losing your mind. You're losing your memory. You forget everything. Don't put a word curse on me. You don't have to tell them that. You say, I bind and I break that word curse. In whose name? Are you using the name? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. We'll read that off the screen. We've been authorized to use the name. Now, before we read this, I'm going to give you another story. Shelly Brim, Billy Brim's daughter, was in college, and she tells the account, well, Billy Brim tells the account, of when she was in college on a volleyball scholarship. And she had just finished practice one day, and she was so tired. But these in her room or apartment right off campus, there was this unusual disturbance when she would lay down. It looked like some other being was in the house. And she said the bed would come up and would shake. And so she called her mom. Mom, what's going on? She said, my bed's coming up. This thing turned around. She said, ah, that's low-level devils. You deal with that. You ain't got to call me about that. Well, that's good. That's good coaching from a parent, because she's telling you deal with your own devils. You there on campus? You ain't got to bother me about that. Just you know what to do. So she was tired one day, and this thing's happening again. Bed lifted up off the ground, levitating, shaking like this, and she can't hardly sleep and rest. And so she looks up and sees her angel there. And she sees her angel and says, can you take care of that? And the angel talks back to her. He said, I haven't been given the name. But you have been given the name. So she realized, oh, yeah, the angel doesn't have the name. They didn't have the inheritance and name. You have unqualified use of the name. Praise God. So she had to sit up and deal with that evil spirit that was tormenting her rest and sleep and peace and quiet in the house, in the apartment that she was in. Somebody said, glory to God. I mean, I've had to deal with stuff on the road, you know, when I just travel corporately. I mean, stuff, people leave in the room and you sense something, you see something. You use the what? The name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now stop right there. Where is it? Where's all treasures of wisdom and knowledge? In Jesus. In Jesus. Represented by name. So we can draw on that name. We can draw on that name. You may not be good at certain areas, but you use the name to help you in that area. Are you listening to me? Draw on the name. Keep going. Verse 4. Now I say this, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. There's, again, I just want to amplify, sometimes people speak of you and speak to you like you are missing something in a certain area, or you're deficient in a certain area. Do you just accept that? Well, yeah. Maybe I'm always come up short in that area. No. They deceive you with persuasive words. Keep going. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing and seeing your good order and steadfastness of what? Your faith in who? In Christ. To be steadfast in faith in Christ, we got to use the name of Jesus Christ. If you don't, we all say, you don't use the name, you end up misusing or abusing. And ultimately, you lose. Amen. Keep going. Verse 6. As therefore, I have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him, the Lord, rooted and built up in him, and established in what? The faith, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. In other words, the name doesn't matter. He's just another name. This is just another religion. Because people in other religions use other names. Now, here's the rub now, because some people think, well, they go to a temple, a mosque, or they go to, and they use other names, and they bow their knee, and they say, hail this name. That's not the name. Are you listening to me? The biggest number one distinguishing factor between Christianity and other religions and cults is the name and the person of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? So you got to be aware of that, because people will tell you, well, I go to church. I'm good. And all they talk about is God in a mystical, theoretical, long-distance type of concept. They don't have a relationship. The only way you get to God is through who? Jesus Christ. Praise God. He's the only way. For in him dwells all the what? Fullness of the God body. And you are what? Complete where? In him who is the head of all principality and power. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ryan. Thank you. Hallelujah. So our Father God has made this investment for the benefit of us, the church. He has made this name on which the church has a right to draw for our every need. Are you withdrawing and drawing on that name? You're not waiting to get the name. You have the name. Now you got to use it. You have been given the, he has given to Jesus the name that has within it the fullness of the Godhead, the wealth of eternities, the love of the heart of our Father God, and that name is given to us. Everybody say that the name of Jesus has been given to me. Come on, lift your hand and say, the name of Jesus has been given to me. Help me, Father, comprehend the enormity, the vastness, the height, the breadth, the length, the value, the high value of that name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, we have a right to use the name against our enemies in our prayers and in our praise and worship. Now, so let's talk just briefly again. Are we using the name of Jesus? How effective are you using your inheritance of the name of Jesus in these three areas? In prayer. We said last week, a couple of weeks, that you pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We kind of introduced a petition Tuesday night if you're on the prayer call. And we talked about you can make it formal, but you pray to the Father in Jesus' name. You know, have those urgent supplications. Jesus not only gives us use of the name in the new covenant prayer, but he also declares that the prayer prayed in his name will receive his special attention. In other words, he said in Matthew 18:19, where two or three are gathered together in whose name? In my name, there am I in the midst of them. So you gather together. If I'm going to hook up and pray with you, we're going to gather together how? In that name. And he's going to make sure I am in the midst. It gets special attention. That's why when you pray and agree and ask the Father in his name and gather in his name, God, Jesus gets on the scene to make sure this gets taken care of. We don't pray the prayer agreement enough. I'll say it again. We're not praying the prayer of agreement enough. There's stuff what we could take care of if we just prayed and agreed and gathered in Jesus' name and got it taken care of. Set things into motion. Are you listening to me? Now, Smith Wigglesworth did this with a lady who was dealing with her husband who was unsaved at the time. He was going to church. He's Methodist, but he's never born again. And they wanted to kick her out of church because she spoke in tongues, and she was filled with the Spirit. And they threatened the husband, as he was a deacon in the church, and said, you better tell your wife to quit that praying in tongues and talking in tongues, or we're gonna take you guys out of the church. So he threatened her. Don't you do it anymore. Well, she couldn't find anybody in that church. The church was dead to agree with her. But she still loved her husband. Amen. Everybody said, use the name. So she found Brother Wigglesworth. She got filled in the Spirit in his meeting, and said, I don't have anybody to agree with me. Can you come agree with me? She did. He met her, and he said, let's agree. When he comes back, because he said, if you keep doing this, I'm going to leave, and I'm not coming back. And she's crying and stuff, and he said, no. His words are not immutable. His name is not higher than the what? The name. The name of Jesus. So they agreed. In Jesus' name, he told her what to do by the Spirit. She went home and fixed him his favorite breakfast because she was expecting. Because why? She used the name. She expected him to come back. She said, well, he never lied. He's always a man of his word. What he says goes. He never changes. He said, nuh-uh. It's going to change because we use the name. Things will change in your life when you use the name in faith. Are you listening to me? And so that he did, came back. He went to sleep, ate his dinner, came back, didn't say nothing to her much. And she just prayed in the spirit over him when he went to sleep, claimed his salvation and deliverance. How?
In the name.
He woke up from the middle of his sleep and started crying out, "Pray with me, I need to get saved."
Hallelujah.
That same day. That same day. How many know the name still has the same power, same value, same worth, same strength and potency as it ever has? It hasn't lost 1 ounce of its power. Hallelujah. Secondly, we can use the name in spiritual combat. We just read Mark 16 through 17 through 18. Jesus said in John 14, 12 through 14, if you demand, command, or claim in my name, that it says in the New King James, ask anything in my name, I will do it. In other words, that's a demanding word. It's a demand, command. You got to demand the devil. Take your hands off my child. Take your hands off my family. Take your hands off of this, my body. Amen. The name of Jesus be used in spiritual in combat against unseen forces that surround us. Friends, let me just give you a clue again. You're surrounded by the enemy of our soul. The very atmosphere is congested with hostile force. You're not in a civilian organization. You've been given a name because you need to use it. We have authority in the name of Jesus against all powers of darkness. I'll say it again. We have authority in the name of Jesus against how much? All powers of darkness. The name of Jesus has all the power, glory, and majesty it ever had. That's a typo there, every. It should be ever. It ever had. Has all the power, glory, and majesty it ever had. And that name has lost none of the power of the person who bore it. That's Jesus. It's lost none of the power. Now, have you lost your faith in the name? Amen. Number three, in the healing of our bodies. So we use the name in the healing of our bodies. Acts 3:6 says, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the what? Name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, will do what? Rise up and walk." This man hadn't walked in a while. I believe since his birth. But he said, I don't have money to give you. I have the name. And we have the name. Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name. Everybody said, no other name. Under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Can't get saved in somebody else's name. You got to get saved in Jesus' name. Now, this salvation is, name of Jesus and salvation, it's full salvation. The new birth, being born again, and the remission of sins is only a part of salvation. It's only a part of it. If that's as far as you think, you limit God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not just trying to get our family in the kingdom. We're trying to, if they're hooked on drugs or cigarettes or alcohol, you get them delivered too. There's deliverance in the name. There's salvation in the name, but there's also deliverance in the game. So if you think it's just coming and getting a ticket to heaven and getting my sins forgiven, that's that's not the extent of it. Amen. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." Everybody say salvation. "For everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." See, the Hebrew and Greek word for salvation implies the idea of deliverance, safety, protection, preservation, healing and soundness. Deliverance, safety, preservation, healing and soundness. Salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes. That's from James Schofield, Dr. James Schofield. when God says salvation, he's talking more than just people realize. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto deliverance. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto safety. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto preservation. The gospel is the power of God unto soundness. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto healing. There is healing in no other name. Why do people get healed? And how do people get healed? It's not because we got all our ducks in a row and we've done all of our checklists and we've done 25 steps of faith. It's because he bore the stripes on his back and he and his name are one. You can't separate Jesus from his name. So he already purchased the healing, and his name represents everything he was, he is, and he will ever be. Whew, glory to God. And so healing is now belongs to you because the name belongs to you. Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have is the name. What do you have? The name that's above arthritis, the name that's above diabetes, the name that's above blood pressure, the name that's above cancer, above every other name. Amen. The healing that he has already provided becomes real to us through how? How do you get it? His name. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why? Because healing belongs to us. If you knew you have it, come on now, you go get it. You just take what you have and apply it. Amen. If I went over to Piper's house and said, can I have some sugar? If they have sugar in their pantry, they would go and what? Get it. You and I have the what? The name. So we should go what? Get it. Take the name and use it. Amen. Glory to God. Healing belongs to us. Jesus Christ our Lord provided it in our redemption. By his stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. By his name and the authority we appropriate and assimilate healing into us and into others. So not just you, but all that belongs to you. So you can pray over your kids. How? In the name. Use the name of Jesus. Repel sickness. Repel disease. Repel disabilities. Repel dysfunctions. Repel debilitations. I remember one time, I got so many stories, I'm trying to put it together because I know it's time to close, get ready down to close. But one time, our daughter, oldest, she'll be here for Christmas week, and she was struggling with math. I think it was trigonometry or calculus, one of them, you know, pre-cal or whatever that GP class is. She's struggling. I spoke to her in the name, and math unlocked to her. She was struggling big time. But friends, you got to use the name. That everything that concerns you or belongs to you, use the name. I spoke to her. I remember the place where I was at. I spoke to her in that name, and math opened up to her. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Glory to God. There's a man who was a preacher in Wales, England, Smith Wigglesworth was minister, and they were praying for this guy because he was dying. He had a real bad disease and debilitation, and so sickness, and so he was all going fast, not getting worse, not getting better, getting worse. And they were praying for him, and he's called, and they came to him because he knew the brother. He was actually a minister, but he was sick. He was hurt. He was dying. And Smith goes, everybody stop praying. Everybody stop praying. So everybody's praying. You know, sometimes people pray all kind of prayers, begging and pleading to heal. And then so he says, everybody stop praying. And so he said, let's just use the name where there is healing. There is healing power. So they just began to say the name Jesus, Jesus. The glory of God filled the room to the point the guy was up off the bed in the middle of the air. And he said, there it is. There's your healing. I mean, this guy's off the bed. I mean, he's literally like you sitting on a chair. He's up here. Power was present to heal. But he couldn't receive. Why? He had bitterness in his heart. He said, wait. He said, I got to get rid of the bitterness. I got to deal with this. He had been bitter and angry and mad at certain people in his life experience, and he had never forgiven them. And that blocked the healing power, that blocked and short-circuited the power of God that's resident and ready to be at your disposal in that name. And so he repented, and he said, okay, I'm ready now. And they used the name. He totally healed, raised up off of a bed of debilitation, disability, and disease. He was, that thing was broken in that name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. See, the name of Jesus from Smith Wigglesworth, he said, we need to know that healing for our physical bodies is part and parcel of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus not only took our sins, but he also our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, you see the scriptures there. So let's skip down to the last bullet. What do we have in the name? You got to remember, you have authority in the name of Jesus. We have a right to pray and receive answers to our prayers. How? In the name of Jesus. And we have access and the ability to appropriate the full benefits of salvation and our redemptive rights and privileges in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.